भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारद कृष्ण वन टाइम इज डिवाइन ग्रेस शलेसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद हुज वंडरफुल वीटी वाज सीइंग हियर। Srila Prabhupada was walking with his disciples on a morning walk near Stowe Lake. It was a very icy cold morning. The lake was filled with a thick layer of ice. Srila Prabhupada came near the lake, took his walking stick and started piercing the ice layer. And all his disciples were astonished. What is Prabhupada doing? And after some time, the ice cracked and the water came out. And then Prabhupada smiled. Prabhupada said, the natural condition of water is to be liquid. But superficially, artificially, it has been covered by ice. When we pierce the ice goes out and the natural condition comes out. Similarly, in this world, all the youth, all the people, they are covered by a thick layer of covering, of artificiality, of a superficial lifestyle. And my service to the society is to give them this rare gift of Krishna consciousness and help them pierce through this cover and allow them to experience the natural joyful state of the soul, and that is Krishna consciousness. So this is Srila Prabhupada's special contribution to the society. And through ISKCON Youth Services, Srila Prabhupada is helping all of us experience this natural state of joy and happiness. Therefore, to me personally, it is most inspiring and heartening to see so many young boys on a Saturday evening, you could be doing so many things. But you have decided to experience the natural state and you're practicing this process. Therefore, it inspires us also to see all of you so enthusiastic. And today's topic especially assumes importance because it's a very timely topic. Because the problem is we want to be free. We want to be happy. But there is something which makes everything related to joy and happiness a little elusive. So we'll try to probe that. There was a time when a young boy would write a love song. He would write, Adam and Eve created love. Romeo and Juliet enjoyed it. Laila Majnu died for it. What about you and me? This would be the composition. But today, times have changed so much. A young boy writes a letter to God. My dear God, I have no hunger. I have no thirst. My nights are sleepless. My days are restless. Am I in love, God? God said, idiot, you are not in love, you are simply a software employee. That's all. So today, lifestyle has changed so much. People are working hard. But we realize that we have a long way to go before we actually experience what is called as happiness. We might do many things, but there is something which is missing. So we'll try to examine that. Therefore, our discussion today will be mainly on three topics. That is, what exactly these 8 was? At least 100 people have asked me in the last 3-4 weeks, what exactly these 8 was? It's very simple and we'll discuss it. But the biggest problem is nobody wants to go beyond these 8 was, even though they know that there is 8 was. So this will be our main discussion. Why should we go beyond? And thirdly, if you are convinced, you also need to know how to transcend these eight worlds. So, we'll address the first theme and we'll take a short lesson from history. 5,000 years ago, in the city called Pragjyotishapur, there was a very wicked king by the name Bhaumasur. He had kidnapped thousands of queens and imprisoned them. At that time, the supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, he came with his consort Satyabhama to deliver these queens. But this city, Pragjyotishapur, was covered by very formidable walls. First was, on the four directions, there were four very powerful walls which he could not penetrate. So therefore, Lord Krishna, he took his gada and broke all the walls. And then he went ahead. Bhaumasur, to protect his kingdom, had made a huge water canal. That also Krishna destroyed. And then he had an electric barbed wire system. Krishna with his Sudarshan Chakra destroyed all that. And there were gaseous substances called anila, which also Krishna penetrated. And finally, as they entered the city, there was this great demon called Mura with this Trishul attacking Krishna. Krishna killed him. Then Mura had several sons who attacked. Krishna destroyed them also. And finally, there was a very long combat with the main person, that is Bhaumasur. And finally, Krishna killed him also and released the queens. Similarly, this story we can relate to, besides the historical and devotional significance, we are like these queens. We are trapped in this universe, this material world. And our original home is the spiritual world, where we reside eternally with Krishna. But we have been kidnapped by our false ego, which is compared with Bhaumasur. And we are deciding to enjoy independently of the Lord and are suffering terribly here. And we want to enjoy, but just like a cow which is tied to a pole, a cow cannot go beyond the radius. A child might play with his toys within the fence, but he cannot go beyond the fence. So we are feeling tied up because we are also in this material world covered by these walls. We have earth, water, fire, air. All these are compared with the boundaries that Bhaumasur created in terms of water canals, electric wires, gaseous substances. And also, Mura is compared with the mind, and all his sons are compared with intelligence, which is contaminated and polluted. And thus, Bhaumasur, the personification of false ego, he is the final obstacle. So therefore, we are all trapped in this world, covered by a combination of these eight elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, and then the subtle elements, mind, intelligence, and ego. And we are constantly suffering here. But sometimes we have a question: is this world really a place of suffering? Actually, we don't have to be an Albert Einstein to realize this, that this world is a place of suffering. We can see how wonderfully, or rather how disastrously, these eight elements, which are most important and needed for us to survive in this world, they can destroy us also. All of us know that we need earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Ether refers to the space, and mind, intelligence, and ego, these elements are existing. But we can see, through a massive earthquake like we had in Kashmir last year, the element earth can create havoc. There can be a tsunami, so water can cause problems. There can be volcanic eruptions. And there can be various harmful gases. Like now, World Bank has called Mumbai as a gas chamber. because of terrible smoke and carbon monoxide being released. And also due to lack of space, there can be a situation when people get choked up. Like we have in cricket matches, many, many times in the stadiums, people, like in Nagpur some years back, people are wanting to watch a match, but they got choked up, they couldn't go in, and people died. Or in Liverpool in England, during a football match, people lost lives. So these eight elements are needed, but these elements can destroy when they combine. And mind, intelligence and ego, all of us have experienced terrorism, wars, suicides. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada would say, this material world is not a fit place for a gentleman. It's a very nasty world. Krishna says, Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. Dukkhalaya means a place of Dukkha. Pustakalaya means a place of Pustak. You can't go to a library and say, tell the librarian, give me one plate of idli sambar. He'll say, go to a bhojanalaya. You can't go to a bhojanalaya, you can't go to a restaurant and ask for a book on electrical engineering. He'll say, go to a pustakalaya. So in pustakalaya you get pustak, in bhojanalaya you get bhojan, in madiralaya you get madira. Similarly, in dukkhalaya we will get dukkha. For this world is temporary, miserable. But the problem is, when we hear all this, we wonder, this is a little far out. You know, spiritual world, and we are here in the material world. We have to go there, and there are these eight walls covering. So are we saying that you take a special rocket and get out of this material world? Get out, break through all the walls and enjoy and be happy? Is it possible? Like in China, they are trying. Recently, in China, there is a company launched called Lunar Embassy. This company sells land on moon. And believe it or not, there are people queuing up to buy land in moon. So people have a desire to go, explore, go through this universe. But unfortunately, we cannot, we are trapped. I don't know if the story is true, but I heard that sometime back NASA was planning to send a man to Mars. But they said, you won't return back. So you tell us how much money you want. So they shortlisted three people, American, Russian and Indian. And they asked the American, so how much will you want? He said, I'll need $1 million. Why? He said, I want to donate it to the scientific community for research. The Russian was called. He said, how much will you charge? He said, $2 million. Why? $1 million I'll give to my family, because anyway I'm not going to come back. And $1 million I will give to the scientific community for research. The Indian went. He said, I will charge $3 million. Why three? But $1 million I will give you for that you shut up. $1 million I will keep. And $1 million we will give to the American and send him to Mars. So the point is, we cannot try all these artificial things. It's not going to work. And people are so smart, they will somehow work out a way by which they can try to be happy in this world itself. So we are trapped within this city of eight walls, which refers to this world. So what we'll now do is, we'll try to understand that there is a miniature form of this universe, a prototype of this universe, which also is a city of eight walls. And we are trapped within this city of eight walls. And we have to work our way to get out of this city and go beyond this city. And anybody would like to guess what is this city? It's the body. The body which we have is a prototype of the universe, because the body also contains earth, the gross element. There is pitta, there is fire of digestion, there are different gases. And mind, intelligence and ego, we all experience. We always have ego clashes. So we are all actually living in a city of eight walls. We are like a bird which is trapped in a cage. A bird wants to fly, but the cage is stopping. We want to enjoy and go beyond this body, but we cannot because we are focusing on this body always. Take a simple example, one cell. One cell is so complicated. It has a power department, there is mitochondria. It has a defense department, there is cell wall. It has a planning commission, nucleus. It has powerful intercellular information system. It is said that one cell has a perfect organized system which is more complicated and more developed and fine than the New York City management. And like this, there are 30 trillion cells in one human body. So what a huge system we're talking about. And all of us have experience of subtle mind, subtle body that we have. The mind, intelligence and ego, we all have this experience. In America, every day 1,000 people attempt suicide. That means there is something wrong with the mind. Hindustan Times recently reported that in India, the armed forces, in the Indian army, 20,000 army men are taking psychiatric treatment in the last 4 years. And every year for the last 5 years, 100 army men are committing suicide. That means even from national interest point of view, it is very important for us to study this city of eight walls and go beyond this city, because we are trapped by this powerful mind and intelligence contaminated. Main thing is a false ego, the ego that I am great, I am special. And this is driving the whole world crazy. There is this famous Mr. Lard in Maharashtra. He was so egoistic. So one man came selling perfume, which is very expensive. 1 gram cost some 6,000, 7,000 rupees, kasturi. And 1 liter cost lakhs of rupees. And he told Mr. Lard that you cannot afford it. And his ego was so hurt, he got so angry. He said, what do you mean I cannot afford? You get me hundreds and hundreds of liters, I'll purchase all of it. And he ordered for all these liters of perfume. And instead of water, he used that to mix with the cement and made the walls of his house. Just to show that I am great. Even now when people visit that house, they smell the walls to see if there is some perfume coming. So this is a crazy thing going on in the world. Our conception of our self-worth is determined by a very narrow, unbalanced way of life. So we are trapped in the city. So at a practical level, when we are talking, when we say what is the city of eight walls, we are referring to this body. So hereafter in our discussion, when we refer to the city of eight walls, keep in mind this body. Now, as long as we are always focusing on this city of eight walls, my dear friends, we cannot be happy. Because there are three things that are obsessed with always. I, me, and mine. So you might have a lot of success in life, but if our focus is only on the body, we will be miserable. Just like our neighboring country, one time during war, Indian Air Force was destroying their Air Force very badly. So they became desperate. So they started employing people from the villages and told them, just get into the fighter plane and just start the plane and go and bomb the Indian camp. But they said, sir, we don't know anything. But the Air Chief said, don't worry, just sit, press the red button, the engine will start. But sir, we don't know anything, no problem, just press the green button, the plane will take off. But sir, how to get the plane down? The Air Chief said, that you don't worry, that Indian Air Force will get you down. So this is our situation. We want to go up, 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 but foundation is so weak. We'll come crashing down because our focus is our obsession with the city of eight walls, with the self. So therefore, we see the most successful people in this world are the most miserable also. Have you noticed this? Somebody sent me an email of famous people who committed suicide. I was tired of seeing the names. Actors, writer, artist, so many names. And especially, the biggest problem is with the young boys, the youth. Because they say, well, We know that there is a city of 8 walls. We are convinced there is earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. It makes a lot of sense. But still, I don't want to go beyond this city of 8 walls. I'm happy. I'm happy going to the bar. I'm happy boozing, freaking out, just enjoying life. So therefore, we need to now understand, why should we go beyond? Because the whole media outside is advertising, just enjoy. Don't think anything beyond the body. The Russian scientist Pavlov, he did an experiment. He got two rats, kept them in a cage, and then he put two buttons, two switches. When accidentally the rat would press the red button, he would get food falling. And if the rat pressed the green button, he would get a shock. So the rat figured out how to get food. After some time, Dr. Pavlov, he changed the switches. When the rat pressed the red button, he would get a shock. When he pressed the green button, he would get food. After some time, again it changed. The rats got so used to the whole thing, they got so engrossed in this game, it became a game for them. After some days, Pavlov opened the cage. He had trapped the rats in a cage. He opened the gate, but the rats refused to come out of the cage. They were happy. They wanted to have nothing to do with the outside world. They didn't want to go beyond the city, the trap. So therefore, we are now going to discuss three reasons why we should go beyond the 8 walls. Because we are not A, we are not B, and we are not C. We are not animals. We have a very refined consciousness. Most importantly, we are not these bodies. And also, we cannot control. Now, before we go ahead and explain each of them, I would like all of you to be a little open-minded to understand these concepts, because this might be a little foreign. Because we are used to a certain pattern of thinking in life. Now we need to go beyond that thinking. Like a simple riddle, I think many of you might know this, but those of you who don't know, just try to guess the answer. Once a man was going with his son in a car, and they had a huge accident, and the man died on the spot, but his son was very critical, and his son was rushed to the hospital, and the surgeon was told, you have to operate him immediately, and the surgeon looked at the boy and said, sorry, I cannot operate on this boy, because he is my son. How is this possible? Any answers? Yes? Mother. The surgeon was mother. But we feel, how can that be? Because our thinking is, surgeon means man. So we are thinking, how can he have two fathers? No, why can't the surgeon be a mother? So the point I'm trying to make is, we have a certain way of thinking in life. We have a certain way of doing things in life. We need to break that. And only then we can understand higher subject matters, more deeper subject matters. Like another one, this is very easy. A black man was standing on the black street. All the walls were black. His clothes were black. And it was raining. And a car was coming full speed. The car was also black in color. And the worst thing was, there were no headlights. The car had no lights. And the car came full speed. And the man was standing in the middle of the road. The car came so close to him, but stopped. Didn't hit him. How come? His face was not black. Anything else? It was daytime. Simple. But our problem is, we think black means night. Why? Similarly, when we try to understand some spiritual subject matters, some deeper subject matters, we have a certain way of thinking. We don't want to go beyond that thinking. Therefore, let us be a little open-minded and understand this very, very important point, that is, we are not animals. Often people say, man is a social animal. Yes, we are social animals. But there is something very critical about us. We are very similar to animals in four ways. Animal eats on the road. A man eats in a five-star hotel. I remember I grew up at Cuff Parade. We had hotel president. And very rich people would go to Hotel President and drink tea, costing 25, 30 rupees. They would drink tea. And some boys, they would drink tea at a chai wala just below the President Hotel on the corner. And they would say, we are going to Vice President Hotel. And but the tea was same. So eating, animals are doing it in a gross way. We might do it in a very sophisticated way. But you see, all over the world, there are some companies which employ scientists to do research on the food nutritional value of a chocolate. And they spend lakhs of rupees on that research. But essentially, what is that? Eating. Sleeping. An animal. I've seen many young boys. I ask them, what is your hobby? They say, my hobby is to sleep. People like to sleep. But animals do that also. Animal might defend itself with claws, teeth. A man defends himself with buzzer alarms, security, nuclear warfare, insurance, banking, keys, locks. But focus is this. Millions of dollars are spent on defense expenditure. And finally, the most common thing between man and animals is sex life. Is there any difference? Actually, is there anything that human beings are doing which is not within this four? Very few exceptions. Most of our activities are covering only these four. Some people say, no, but dogs don't have entertainment. They don't watch movies. No, but essentially this four only. What do we show in movies? Because eating, sleeping, mating, defending is very frustrating for most of the people. So they see somebody who is enjoying these four activities nicely on the screen and they feel happy. That is all, basically. But a dog is not so sophisticated, so he might not be watching movies, but essentially it is the same. Just like a vulture, you know, vulture is flying high in the air, but when it sees flesh, meat, it comes down, pounces. Similarly, we are all doing big things. Man is progressing so much, but essentially, these four activities only. Ghum firke, he comes there. That's it. But then there is a difference between animals and humans. Any guesses? What is the difference? I heard intelligence. Intelligence animals also have. You see, I've seen a leopard, how it catches a prey. It very stealthily approaches quietly and it just pounces. Have you seen a cat coming to your house when you keep milk? The cat won't come when you are aware. The cat will come when nobody is around. Animals also have intelligence. Conscience. Actually, you are right. Intelligence, somebody said, is right. But the point is, man has superior intelligence. He has intelligence by which he can understand spiritual goal. Animals, they have intelligence. Terrific. But they can't understand about spiritual life. They can't go beyond the city of eight walls. I remember some years back, brahmacharis, all of us were given by our authorities in the temple, two hangers to hang our kurtas. And after some months, all the hangers disappeared. And then our authorities chastised us for being irresponsible. Then months passed. Then one day when we were doing japa here outside this corridor, suddenly we saw in the tree in front of our compound, the top, there was a nest of pigeon. And that nest was made of all hangers. We were shocked. When did the birds come? One by one, slowly they picked up all the hangers. These birds, these pigeons, didn't go to any civil engineering college. They didn't have a degree from IIT. But they are intelligent. Krishna has given them the intelligence. Intelligence is there. But the superior intelligence to understand spiritual life, that is not there. But sometimes people say, well, that's okay. I'm happy. I live like an animal. Then we are compared to a miser who simply licks the bottle of honey. We have an opportunity to actually taste nectar, joy in life. But we are refusing to do it because we simply want to lick the outside of the bottle. There is so much potential available. We are like a bud which can blossom into a flower. And therefore, it's a very critical point that we are going to discuss right now, which I want all of you to hear attentively, because this clearly proves that man should go beyond the city of eight walls. He should understand about spiritual life. The Vedic science explains 5 levels of consciousness. It's very scientific. The first or the lowest level is of the plants and the trees. Now it's interesting, 100 years ago science proved that plants have life. But Vedic scriptures said this thousands of years ago. And they said plants have, trees have life, but their consciousness is covered, avrita. It's not completely manifested. So a plant does not feel so much pain. A plant does not feel so much joy because its consciousness is covered. Higher than that, but still low, is animals whose consciousness is constricted. They can experience little more pain. They can experience little more pleasure, more joy than the trees. But still, it's not complete. Just like, for example, a cow. A cow can eat grass 3 times a day, 10 times a day, whole life. Can a man eat khichdi 3 times a day, whole life? Can he? He will want, you know, Italian, pizza, dosa, variety, Punjabi, Chinese. Why? Because we want to experience something more. That is our nature. But cows or other animals, they will have sex only in the mating season. But what will a human being do? What will a human being do? He will agitate himself through different provocative things. And he will try to enjoy even during the non-mating season. Animal will not kill unless his life is threatened. But a man will always kill. Shri Shriyada Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai, Nitai Gaur Chandra ki jai, Shri Gopal ji ki jai. So man is the only animal. He will eat when he is not hungry. He will kill when he should not be killing. And he will have sex when he should not be having sex. Because we have the capacity to go beyond. That is the main point. Satchinandan Maharaj tells the story of a bird, an eagle, who accidentally laid eggs in a community of hen. And this eagle was growing up, but he didn't realize that I am not actually a hen. But he had a strong desire to fly, but he could never fly because he was growing up with that culture. And one sage felt pity on that eagle chicken and took him to a tree branch and threw him. He thought he will fly, but he fell down. He tried many times to make the eagle fly, but the eagle wouldn't fly because of that culture. Finally, the sage caught the neck of the eagle, turned it towards the sky, and the eagle saw the sky, felt, it's my home. And then his neck was throttled, so he started flapping his wings, and suddenly the sage left his hand and the eagle started flying. We are like that eagle trapped in a hen community. We are in this material world, but we can expand our consciousness. Therefore, humans are compared to a budding stage, Mukulita. We are at a critical stage when we can expand our consciousness or we can degrade. Just like a bud can either be cut down or it can blossom. So when we practice Krishna consciousness, our consciousness blossoms. And finally, in a pure devotee, his consciousness is filled with remembrance of Krishna. He is completely absorbed. Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles one time and he was sitting with his disciples in a park and it was cold. So one devotee bought a blanket for Prabhupada to sit. Prabhupada said, no, I don't need this. I am sitting on the lap of Krishna. He could immediately remember Krishna. He could have that feeling of intense remembrance of Krishna. Then nice air blew, it was a little cold. So a devotee bought a chadar. Prabhupada said, no, I am feeling the embrace of Krishna. So this is a pure devotee whose consciousness is completely immersed in remembrance of God and his heart is filled with love. But we are in the middle stage, the third stage. And Srila Prabhupada said, if we do not go beyond this stage, we do not go to the fourth stage, then what will happen? We are simply like animals. Mahabharata says this, that if we do not practice spiritual life, we are simply sophisticated animals. That's all. Srila Prabhupada said, an animal runs on four legs, a human runs on four wheels. Four wheels and four legs, that's all. We can't allow, or we shouldn't allow that bud, that Mukulita, to be throttled. We have to allow it to blossom. Srila Prabhupada said a very nice example. In the high court, you will find a judge and you will find a clerk. The clerk is working harder. The judge comes for a few hours, gives some division and he goes away. But the judge gets much more money. Why? He gets much more comfort. Why? Because he has a responsibility of a higher nature. Isn't it? Similarly, Srila Prabhupada writes in Ishopanishad that the needs of the animals, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, these are the four activities at the constricted stage, at the animal stage. These four are fulfilled for the animals under unpleasant and nasty conditions. So we are not supposed to be focusing on these four. We are supposed to be focusing on higher, developing our consciousness. But because man, who is at the budding stage, focuses on these four, he becomes like an animal. He goes lower. That is why we see animals, they have to struggle so much for these four activities. You see a hen eating, how a hen eats. He eats little grains, he's always looking here and there. Cat will come, pouncing. But man, after some time will take prasad. You will not be in fear, somebody is going to come and beat me. We will be eating prasad, honoring prasad and laughing, talking. Sleeping also, donkey is sleeping, the master will come and kick the donkey. Gare ut, and he'll make him work. But our parents don't come and kick us when we have to go to college. In some cases they might, but mostly that doesn't happen. And sex life, animals have to struggle. One dog wants to have sex, he has to fight with 20 other dogs for one bitch. This is a fact. But man, there is a system, there is an institution of marriage. He gets married, he has a house where he has sex. He doesn't have 20 men don't come chasing after his wife. That doesn't happen in human society. These things are all characteristic feature of animals. But if we focus on these four only, then we will be like the animals. Like simple, nowadays they are saying, we should have sexual freedom. Our country is sexually repressed. There should be freedom. Free mixing of sexes. Okay, fine. We do that. What will happen? Just like animals. Have free sex. But if we do that, we should be prepared to face the consequences that the animals face because of these activities. They have to struggle. They have to fight. There is death. There is murder. It's nasty. It's unpleasant. All those things will also come. We can't get only one side of the coin. Therefore, humans are not advised to engage in these activities. In fact, what actually happens is, man becomes worse than an animal. Here we see this chimpanzee smiling, but a man is frowning. This is what happens. Actually, if you carefully observe a leopard, if it wants to protect itself, what does it do? It has its legs, it runs. Isn't it? A chameleon, how does it protect itself? Changes its color. A tortoise has a hard shell. So nature has given all animals some way to protect themselves. And what has the human being got to protect himself? Intelligence. Therefore we see a tiny human being, he can encage a ferocious lion. He can tame a wild elephant. Because he has powerful intelligence. So human being's source of protection is intelligence. Like a leopard's source of protection is its fleet foot. Fast feet. But with this intelligence, man has protected himself, created languages, cultures, arts, music, science. But with the same intelligence, man has created nuclear bombs, which is threatening to destroy all life in this planet. So man is the only species whose source of protection is also now threatening to be the source of destruction. No other animal has this problem. Today the world is facing threat not by the farmers in Hyderabad, but some top scientists in some countries. So therefore we need to understand, where are we going wrong? Why are we focusing only on these four activities? Why can't we think higher? The World Watch Institute, which is based in Washington, in May 1999, they shocked the world by their press release. They showed how the number of people killed due to wars and terrorism from 1900 to 2000, 1999, in these 100 years, is 3 times more than the number of people killed due to wars from 1 AD to 1899 AD. This is our advancement. We're advancing. Therefore, we should understand that we just simply cannot go on with these 4 activities. One Russian philosopher was giving a lecture to the farmers in Russia, and he said, by the power of science and technology, man can fly in the air today like the birds. He can swim in the water like the fishes. And one farmer said, then why don't we live on land like humans? Actually, the birds are better off. They fly and at the most they might drop some stool. But when a man flies in air, he drops bombs or he might crash into buildings. He might destroy. Man is going berserk. When Indradhumna Maharaj came here and he was telling us about Brazilian Amazon jungles, we asked him, Maharaj, don't you have wild animals there? He said, no, the most dangerous animal is not there, so we are happy. We have no problem. He was referring to a human being. There are some zoos where they have one tent kept most dangerous animal. And when you go in, you see a big mirror. Just to make a person realize that there is something inherently wrong with us. Therefore, Martin Luther King Jr., he said, we have guided missiles, but misguided men. Misguided men. So therefore, we become more miserable than the animals. Will you ever see animals taking sleeping pills? Do they have problems of insomnia? Do animals face threat from a member of their own species? A rat is afraid of rat? No, a cat. Human being is afraid of? Not even human being, sometimes a member of his own family. One 78-year-old man was found murdered, and after investigations it was revealed that his 95-year-old mother had employed gundas. This came in the newspapers. Because he had put all the property in his name. And then the judiciary had to go through its own way, and this lady was sentenced to life imprisonment. That is another comic tragedy of modern times. So, human beings face threat from the member of their own species. Animals never face scarcity created by a same member of the species. 10 cows will not gang up and take all the grass and prevent the other cows from getting. Isn't it? But Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction that when a bag of rice is kept on the road, a dog will come, take little, go away. A pigeon will come, take little, will go away. Man will come, he will hold it, he will look here and there and take the whole bag. One time Srila Prabhupada was walking in Juhu and he saw with his disciples one thin man, poverty-stricken man was lying on the ground shivering, and on the same pavement a fat man was jogging. Prabhupada said, see, he is dying because he doesn't have anything to eat. And this man is jogging so that he can lose the excess weight caused by overeating. So this is the situation in human society. Only humans create scarcity. Because we are focusing on these 4, we become more miserable than the animals. Well, animals don't have heartbreaks. A monkey doesn't feel, oh, this she-monkey has broken my heart. You know, he doesn't compose ghazals and he will not have a rose and he will not say, oh, she loves me not. He will not do these kind of things. He will just jump off to another tree and find another monkey knee, you know. He has no problem. But in human society we see complicated human relationships, heartbreaks. There is this commando police in USA, they tackle terrorists. But when they hear tragedies of love triangles, they won't go anywhere near. Because love triangles are very complicated. 2 men, 1 woman, or 2 women, 1 man. And when they're affected, they kill the both parties, and they kill themselves, they kill the police, they kill everybody. They go crazy. So the commando police stays away from them. So this is a fact. And now, of course, I shouldn't say this here, but I can't help it. Now, two men, one woman, now it's two men and a man. Homosexuality is increasing. And that is also not, because even that is not giving satisfaction to people. People are entering into relationships with animals. Then there is incest. Just think, my dear friends, why all this is happening? Because the fact is we want to enjoy more than what the body can provide. Because we are at the budding stage. But we are focusing on these four, so it's just getting degraded. That is the only explanation for this. And animals, you will never see them have. I and Gaurang Prabhu was telling us we did stress management seminars for corporates, but we never got a call from any veterinary society for animals. We don't have to do stress management seminars for them. And animals don't have addictions. They don't take drugs. They don't take alcohol. This is another proof that we want to explore more. We want to enjoy more. And I'm sure none of us here must have heard of any animal that ever commits suicide. This is the most glaring feature of human society. And there is a scientific reason for this. Because plants and animals have a lower level of consciousness. They can't enjoy a lot of happiness. Same time, their pain is also less. But because a man can potentially enjoy a lot of more and more happiness, so therefore potentially he can also be the most miserable. Therefore, if you want to know more about this, you can study the articles written by His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu from IVF Pune. He writes through his Spiritual Scientist series. And we can study like this, how human beings are suffering a lot. So therefore, we have to go. We have no choice. We have to go beyond what the body can offer. We have to go beyond the city of eight walls. But sometimes some people say, but why the hell can't the body offer? Why should we go beyond? Why can't we make some medical advancement in such a way that our body keeps, just, we can keep on enjoying? Like Dr. Gerald Sussman from MIT, he recently made a statement. He said, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately or fortunately, we are the last generation to die. Because we are making so much advancement that from next generation onwards, people will stop dying. And everybody laughed at him. Can anybody believe this story? Since Hiranyakashipu, people are trying not to die. But you can't escape death. But that is a desire. We don't want to die because we are eternal. The problem is, we are not bodies in the first place. Inside this body, there is a spiritual spark. There is an energy. Just like we have a car, a car does not go on its own. It needs a driver. Similarly, this body is functioning because the spiritual spark, the soul, is activating this body. Like sometimes we say, you know, my hand, or my leg, my head, my nose, my body. We generally say, this is my body. What does this mean, this is my body? If I say, this is my watch, what does that mean? That means, I am different from the watch. If I say, this is my pen, that means I am different from the pen. If I say, this is my body, that means I have a different existence other than the body. Therefore, we are not the body, we are spirit soul. And John Pfeiffer is a very renowned medical scientist. He has written a book called The Human Brain. And he very beautifully points out how every 7 years, all the chemicals in the body change. So, if you are 21 now, you have a different set of body, you have a different set of chemicals, you are completely different than what you were when you were 14 years old. But still, don't we remember everything or many things that we did as a 14-year-old boy? For the person who is experiencing this, is not changing. That means there is something more. That means we are not the body. There is a spiritual soul who is occupying this city of eight walls. Of course, if the light is off now, completely, can you see me? No. Now, when the light is on, can you see me? Actually, no. You can see this body. And you can see the soul through the action of the body. The soul is activating this body. Therefore, this mind, intelligence and ego, they are the subtle elements of this body, this city. And the gross elements are earth, water, fire, air and ether. Just like we wear a shirt, inside the shirt there is a banyan and then there is this body. Isn't it? Similarly, the soul is covered by banyan, which is like the subtle body, mind, intelligence and ego. Then there is a shirt, which is like this body, earth, water, fire, air and ether. So therefore, our situation is, we have a wonderful body and we are like this farmer whom you are seeing on the screen, who was driving his tractor and one day he got a news that he's won a lottery and he's got a Mercedes Benz as first prize. And what does he do? He says, wow, from tomorrow I start plowing my field with this Mercedes. What do you think will happen? Three things will happen. First, what will happen to the Mercedes? It will get spoiled. What will happen to the field? It will get spoiled. What will happen to the driver? He will get frustrated. So human body is like a Mercedes Benz. The body is like a car. And eating, sleeping, mating, defending, these activities are like plowing a field with a tractor. That is the job of a tractor. Similarly, these four activities are the job of an animal body, focusing on these four. When we try to focus on these four, it is like using a Mercedes Benz to plow a field. So the body doesn't support. A pigeon can have sex 30 times a day. Man cannot, because his body is not meant for that. And the body doesn't support, then the enjoyment we cannot. And the worst thing is, we are never satisfied by engaging in bodily activities. Therefore, this famous biologist, E.O. Wilson, he had a team of scientists and they studied. They said, everything in nature is dependent on the species of life. Every species is contributing to the maintenance of this environment. And he said, in his study, conclusively proved that there is one species which, if it doesn't exist, there will be no damage to the environment. And that is the human species. In fact, he went on to say that if the human species were to be wiped off the planet Earth, then the nature will improve. Environment will be better. And in his report, he concludes that he has written that human life is for a higher purpose. Therefore, what Krishna consciousness does, we are helping to understand the need of the driver, the soul. Just like you cannot say the driver is hungry, you cannot tell him, hey, I have put so much petrol in the car, you take some petrol and drink. No. Driver's food is different, the car's food is different. Similarly, from morning to night, we are reading, we are working, we are playing, we are sleeping. This might be needed, but this is for the car, the body. As long as we don't fulfill the need of the driver, the soul, we cannot be happy. And finally, we have the third reason why to go beyond, and that is we are not the controllers, but controlled. It's a very important point, because many times this is the final excuse people give, that I agree, we are not the body, I agree, we are city of eight walls, all these things I agree. But the problem is, we will do it in the old age, we will do bhakti in the old age. No. Even if we accept that we are the body, we are not the soul, still we have to practice spiritual life, because we cannot control our body. And we try to squeeze out as much enjoyment as possible from the body, but unfortunately, our body is not under our control. In JJ College, we had recently an experience which shows how a man is like a puppet, he is controlled completely. This boy was called for a program. He had done exams. He had just given his exams on the last day. He was called for a ISKCON program, and that night his friends told him, no, come for a party, dance party. And he went for a dance party, and that night while dancing in the party, he got a cardiac arrest and he died. Young boy, death can come at any time. But we are thinking always, I am in control. I can control the whole world. The whole world is in my fist. I am special. We walk on the road also thinking always that I am special. The whole world is revolving around me. You can see sometimes the car is standing. We look in the windshield and we comb our hair. We'll go to the college. We'll think all the girls are looking at me only. I am special. This consciousness is very deep rooted. Actually, our existence is like the existence of an ant in this hall. If we have dancing kirtan now, what is the probability that the ant will go from there to there? If you look from the sky, if you have an aerial view, you will see that our life has no value. One time, Srila Prabhupada was going with his disciples, and Srila Prabhupada pointed out how we are not in control. And the disciples said, they were arguing for the sake of making it more lively. And they said, Prabhupada, but we are in control. We have created a beautiful aeroplane. We can control nature. Prabhupada said, but one small mistake, the aeroplane crashes. You are like a puppet, controlled. And the disciples said, but Prabhupada, we do have little control. And Prabhupada said, a very famous statement. He said, little control? Little control means no control. We are actually puppets. We have no power. It is just like a man who is building a beautiful building, making the windows, making a nice carpet, curtains, water pipes. But one man, another man, is constantly breaking the foundation of the building. Tuck, 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 tuck. And finally, when the whole building is ready, what happens? It comes crashing down. So whole life we are focusing on the body, working and doing so many things, but it's all over in no time. And therefore, we are not in control. And we can see diseases, bomb blasts, accidents, and ultimately this most powerful factor of time does it all. We were hearing Srila Prabhupada's lecture, and Hindi lecture, and Srila Prabhupada is saying, Koi bhi vyakti buda nahi hona chata, par prakriti sabko chupcha buda bana deti hai. It's a very powerful statement actually. We hear the word chup-chap, quietly. We don't even realize what is happening. But time is so powerful. Right now we are enjoying, we are happy, we are youthful. But no time. Chup-chap. So therefore we are not in control. But we think I can control time. People want to gain time. They want to do something. That's why they jump from one local train to another local train to save time. They jump tracks. They do so much. Like one friend was telling his friends that, you know, my father is so fast, he can control time. He's so fast that he shoots an arrow. Before the arrow reaches, he reaches. The other fellow said, that is nothing. My father shoots a bullet. Before the bullet reaches, he reaches. He's so fast. Third fellow said, you people have no understanding about speed. My father is a government servant. And his office closes at 6, but he comes home by 5. So he is the fastest. So people think, speed, controlling time, we can do all this. But we can't. I was reading one slogan, Kal per control. It's a joke. How can you control Kal? And all these romantic sagas, they're all gone. Taj Mahal is glorified as an emblem of love. But what is there in between Taj Mahal? Two dead bodies. It's two corpses lying. Where are those lovers? In childhood, we used to hear this in school poem, which is very true now. That time, we never thought about it. We can meditate on it now. Ek ta raja, ek ti rani, dono mar gaye, khatam kaam. Time makes everything useless. So we have the time right now, practice Krishna consciousness. So we have to make the best use. We were going to Lonere one time and we saw this. A bus broke down. So we had to, just like our computer is now. I think it's going to on. So, what happened during this was very interesting. This bus broke down. We took an auto, 6-seater auto rickshaw. And one man was his young son. And through this auto rickshaw we were going, this young boy was trying to fix up that. It was raining also. So, he tried to put that curtain properly. and so that he can enjoy the ride. And he put the curtain up, he tied it with the rope, and he sat, again the curtain came down. And again, after some time, he put the curtain up, again it came down. It went on for a long time. Finally, someone managed to tie it properly and perfectly. And then what happened? They reached the destination. They had to go. And the child was crying, "No, no, no, I want to stay back in the auto." But the father said, "Sorry, beta, we have to get down." So what? This is our condition. Whole life we are setting up things, we are working on so many aspects. But when the time comes to enjoy, we have to get out of the auto rickshaw. And especially, what happens is in the youth, we enjoy so much, so much, so much. And that attachment to body becomes so strong that in old age, there is no way we will practice spiritual life. You get frustrated because the desires are strong, but the body doesn't cooperate. And therefore we see that old age is very painful. One old man, but he was a devotee, so in a joking way he said, "What to do? My hairline is in recession. My stomach is in inflation. That is why I am in depression." But you are saying it in a lighter way. But then this is the plight of many who don't take up the spiritual life. That is why you see this Viagra, which is a sexual enhancing medicine, the people who buy it the most are the elderly people, because they have desires, but they're not able to fulfill it. It's an age when you should be practicing Vairagya, but there is a demand for Viagra. So it's a very nasty world. The time is now. Therefore, what we have discussed so far is the ABC. Why? We have to go beyond the city of eight walls. A is for B, C, they're not controllers. Now the question arises, the logical question, fine, how do we go beyond? We need help. Sometimes people say, "What is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna? You keep giving lectures. Why should we hear this spiritual knowledge? How will it help? Does it make any sense to sit and hear?" Well, you go to a medical classroom and tell the students there, first year MBBS classroom, "What the hell are you doing here? You are hearing lectures. Go out. There are so many patients dying. Treat them." Can you say that? No. We have to become proficient swimmers ourselves first before we save others from drowning. Similarly, we have to gain spiritual knowledge. Lord Krishna tells Arjuna that with the sword of knowledge, we have to cut the doubts of ignorance. The biggest problem in this world is people are trying to solve problems without having knowledge. If a plumber comes to your house, if a plumber doesn't come, and you try to fit your sink, and you don't have any knowledge about plumbing, what will happen? You will create a bigger mess than before. If your computer conks off, and you are a novice, and you try to fix it up, what happens? You create a bigger problem than before. Isn't it? Similarly, in this world, people want to be happy, but they don't know how to figure it out. And in that ignorance, instead of seeking help, and instead of hearing about how to cure this problem, and when we try to solve the problem in ignorance, we create a bigger problem than the original problem. This explains how we wanted to solve the problem of walking. We didn't want to walk. So we created cars. Now what is happening because of cars? Air pollution. Now there is a breathing problem. We try to solve walking problem, breathing problem. We didn't want heat, so we created ACs. Refrigerator, so many things, computers in AC room. Now because of that, the chlorofluorocarbons, ozone layer is depleting, the polar ice caps are melting, and there is more heat now. The point is, when we try to solve problems in this way, the way the world is doing now, we are having lots and lots of luxuries, but unfortunately no comforts, no necessities. We have comforts, but no air to breathe, no water to drink. Therefore, we have to understand that there is something more to be done. And when you tell this to the scientists that there is no air to breathe, they will tell you, we are creating a special machine. There is a special oxygen machine. You put your face inside that machine, you get fresh air. But first of all, understand the mess this group of people have created to the environment. That you don't ask. And just like a man went to a doctor and he said, you know, I'm very dumb. I want to become smart. Doctor said, very simple. I have some special potatoes costing 100 rupees each. Every day you eat, you will become smart. So he took, after 1 week he came, he said, doctor, I'm still dumb. I'm not smart. I've not become smart. Doctor says, actually you took only less. You take 100 potatoes. 100 potatoes, 100 rupees each. He took 1 month, he ate those potatoes and he came back and said, doctor, I'm still not becoming smart. And I'm feeling potatoes are same. You know, outside also I'm getting. And you are charging so much money, I'm feeling you're cheating me. Doctor said, see, I told you, you're becoming smart. So this is how the media propagates. You tell them, but environment is in a big mess. See, we have created this. But the mess has been created by them in the first place. So without spiritual knowledge, when we try to solve problems, we create bigger and more complicated problems. A simple example. There are two beds in the hospital. God forbid, this shouldn't happen. But imagine your friend meets with a very serious accident. Which bed will you put him in? But there is a condition. The first bed is reserved for those people who are in extreme pain, but fortunately their disease has been diagnosed. They have some disease. The disease has been diagnosed and the treatment is possible. The second bed is reserved for those who are also screaming in pain, who are also miserable, but their disease cannot be diagnosed and the medication is only experimental. So which patient is better off? Why? He has some knowledge. He has some understanding. Some strength that it gives him. Similarly, many of you are wondering sometimes, I don't know, I used to do this also. We feel, I am same as a non-devotee student in the college. He is also struggling, I am also struggling. But there is a big difference. When we have knowledge, when we are equipped with the sword of knowledge, our suffering is for the last time. We can be more peaceful when we know why we are suffering, what is suffering, how to transcend. Therefore, we have to take to the path of spiritual life very seriously. Therefore, hearing is very important. Another argument boys gave is, Prabhuji, I hear so much, but as soon as I go to the temple, I forget. And after 3 days, I'm very inspired, and after that, Prabhuji, my friends, my TV at home, so many things. So our biggest problem is, we have no determination to change ourselves. Therefore, what we need is the second one, which is endeavor, or rather determination. Today, unfortunately, our life is governed by cinema and media. If you see the topmost management gurus in the world, Stephen Covey, Deepak Chopra, Shiv Khera, they write clearly in their books, if you want to be successful, don't watch television. They say this. And they give examples. If a Hare Krishna person says this, they will say, you are brainwashing. No, there is a reason for that. They explain that it saps away our thinking process, our creative ability. Recently, one boy came to me, young 17-year-old boy, and he's telling me, Prabhuji, I want nothing in life except love. And there is this girl whom I have been going around with for the last 8 years. That means since he was a 9-year-old boy. And he says, now my parents have come to know Prabhuji. So now they are refusing to let us get married. I said, how old are you? 17. But if it, don't you think you should study and finish your career and get some job? Prabhuji, but love. Because her parents are forcing her to get married. Now I have to take a decision. And I found out that his family is a good family. He's from an upper middle class family. I said, what will you do now? He said, Prabhuji, I'm going to run away with her. But where will you stay? I've already spoken. There is one, I'm getting one hut in Berampada area, in that slum area, I'm getting one hut. I'll live there for the sake of love. I said, what job will you do? He said, I will work as a waiter in a hotel. And I was telling him that these dialogues, and you know, I feel I've heard these dialogues somewhere. So So just imagine this 17-year-old boy, he's talking about love and this. I was wondering, but job, your career, education, but Prabhuji, this is emergency. You just think, where do you think this boy has learnt all this from? Actually, what television does is, it makes us an escapist and it completely brainwashes us. The psychiatrists say that there is this process of subliminal suggestion. Right now you are active, there are beta waves going on. These are the waves which help us rationally analyze, screen, thoughts. But when you are relaxed in front of a TV, it's the alpha waves going on. That means it's kind of relaxed, and at that stage, information can be bombarded into the consciousness easily. And we accept, we don't argue, we say everything is okay, we accept. Therefore, in California, when they did a survey, to 6-year-old children, they asked them, whom do you like more, daddy or TV? 60% said, TV. This is the tragedy of modern times. People are thinking television is a substitute for values. And it's such a brainwashing technique. You know, a car is released, a company is now launching a new car, they will have a car in the center and the car will revolve, and a person wants to buy the car and he sees a half-naked woman sitting on top of the car. And they're advertising for the car. But this man thinks, if I get the car, I might get a woman like that. So probably I should take this car. That is the consciousness. And that's how people get fooled. And the worst affected is the middle class. They see on TV the heroes, they have big cars, big bungalows, they have flashy lifestyle. And this man is living in a chawl. He's a middle class fellow. But he's thinking, oh, this is success. So I should get this. He works, stay hard, extra. Just to somehow reach to that level of lifestyle, he doesn't realize that even at that lifestyle, people are miserable. But he's somehow struggling. I will get it. And then he earns more and more money. He's never satisfied. The problem is, the slogan becomes, these people spend money which they don't have. The company say, take loan, no problem. They spend money they don't have on things which they don't need. And to impress people whom anyway they don't like. This is the tragedy of modern times. And this greed and this mess that a man has then landed in is revealed very beautifully by a small film which we have, which we would like to show you now. Before we show this film, I would like to make one thing very clear, that please observe this carefully and you will realize the life of a modern man. This is a story of a squirrel who is greedy. Even at the point of death, he just wants to acquire more and more and more. So, as you see this movie, we can have the lights, the chandelier's lights off, please. So what have we seen in this movie? Even in the last minute he was struggling to somehow acquire. There's an American saying which says, the only difference between grown-up people and the children is the size of the toys. That's all. They're all after toys. And the moral of this movie is, I was hearing a poem, as a rule, man is a fool. When it is hot, he wants it cool. When it is cool, he wants it hot. Always wanting that which is not. This is the tragedy of modern times. And therefore, the moral of this movie can be aptly titled that we have to change from being an absorber to an observer. Right now, all the media bombardment, we are getting absorbed. We need to get out and observe what is happening to our lives. The problem is, the media or the advertising industry, they will never intellectually prove to you that you need this. It is not intellectual proving, it is simply propaganda. As they say, there are lies, there are bigger lies, and then there is advertisements. A simple thing, you know, I was watching in a railway station, one ad, a very famous film star is saying, just buy this watch, you will be happy. Just think, just by buying a watch, you'll be happy. You can't intellectually prove this. So what they do? Propaganda. Everywhere you see this, a person gets brainwashed. And he thinks, okay, I need to buy this watch. And it is it's a known fact. If you lie for a long time, if you lie boldly, and if you lie loudly, it becomes truth. And that is what is happening. And the best example of this being absorbed rather than observing is the tobacco farm. In Kolhapur, there is a huge tobacco farm. And generally farms have a fence. But you will see, in a tobacco farm there is no fence because even a stupid animal like a donkey will not enter and eat that tobacco. And generally farms have a scarecrow, a putla which will drive away birds. But a tobacco farm doesn't have a scarecrow because even a stupidest bird like a crow will not come and eat that tobacco. But a man, he relishes tobacco. In fact, a man is worse than a rat. You know what a rat does? A rat does not know that there is a trap. When he sees a cheese kept in the cage, the rat is not intelligent enough to understand. Secondly, he needs that cheese to survive, to eat. How do you catch a fish? You keep a worm. The fish does not know that there is a trap. And secondly, the fish needs that to survive. But when a man sees a cigarette advertisement dangling, he knows it is a trap. Secondly, he doesn't need it to survive. Without that, he can live. But still, he gets hooked and is completely trapped. Isn't it? What can be more pathetic than this, that we are completely a victim? And cigarette has 3,000 chemicals, but no problem. You are considered to be macho if you can smoke, especially colleges. They have a competition who can take out more circles of the smoke. This is going on. And therefore, cigarette, somebody defined, cigarette is fire on one end and a fool on the other. That is the definition. And one friend of mine was telling me that actually one doctor told him that cigarette smoking has three benefits. And I said, really? And he said, yes. Three benefits. First benefit is that thieves will never come to your house. Secondly, dogs will never bite you. And thirdly, you will never grow old. He said, wow. But can you explain? And the doctor said, thieves will never come to your house because whole night you will be coughing because of smoking. And dogs will not bite you because you will be so weak that you will have to carry a walking stick with you. And you will never grow old because you will die young because of smoking. So this will happen. In the hospitals we see, one doctor devotee was telling me, that this man's father was dying of cancer because of smoking, and this son is, you know, working on the last details, and this son is having gutkha in his mouth. He's seeing that is death. But still, we are completely absorbed. So we need to be an observer. So therefore, we have to endeavor and break this cycle. We have to get out of this, and that requires determination. So S stands for hearing spiritual knowledge, then practically endeavoring with determination. Jai Shri Shraddha Gopinath Bhagwan ki. Jai. One most frequently asked question by the young boys is that we know we have to practice spiritual life, but our problem is we don't have determination. We want to get determination. We want to be determined. Is there a technique? Is there a mantra for this determination? Yes. And that is the process of love. All of you are intelligent young boys. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj asked a question to all the intelligent IITians, CAs, doctors. He said, this is a problem solving for you. Just think that people who are the most selfish in this world, they are the most miserable. And people who are selfless, they are happy. How come? This is a problem which we should try to solve. How can a person who is selfless be more happy than a person who is selfish? Because there is an element of love. One man in Canada was planning to commit suicide. He was about to shoot himself. A dog came running to him and started licking his feet. And he said, let me wait for this dog to finish. But as the dog was licking, he began to feel an exchange of love. He began to see something more in life than what he was experiencing till now. And then this man later on met devotees and he became a devotee. But the point is, we ignore this element of love and especially selflessness. Sometimes people help us without any motivation, we feel so happy. And the best proof, because people say money is what rules the world. But the biggest problem is people feel that money is ruling the world. But this is a simple example. Who can be inspired more? There is a mother and there is a nurse. If the nurse is given 10,000 rupees per week to take care of the child, will she take care of the child more than the mother who might have to spend a lot of money on her part to take care of the child? It's not money that motivates, it's love. And the world is badly wanting love, but is looking for this love through things, through gadgets, which we try to control. Therefore, if we focus on love for God, then automatically things boil down and we start loving everyone, and then we get the strength, the determination to practice spiritual life. One devotee had a friend who was a North Indian and he hated South Indians somehow. But he landed up in Wakare Wareva University, which is in New Zealand. And when he was studying there, he wrote an email saying that my best friend is Rajesh Nair. he is my roommate and we are living together. So immediately our devotee wrote to him back, hey, but you are supposed to hate South Indians. You don't like at all. How come you love him? He said, well, you know, we are the closest friends. Then he realized, because they were the only Indians there. They could share the root. Oh, the same culture. That is why you see Indians and Pakistanis might fight here, but they are the best of friends outside Asia. Because they have the same culture. So if you go backwards more, we realize ultimately we are all children of God, then we'll never hate each other. We'll always have love when we have God as a central feature. Isn't it? Like I remember before becoming a devotee and a child, we used to see Hindi movies. What they show in a typical Bollywood movie? A man is about to kill another man. He's about to kill him and suddenly he sees, hey, Nishan. I also have Nishan. Bye bye. And they throw away the dragon. And they embrace. And they become. And they, in 2 seconds, all the enmity which we saw for the last 2.5 hours is gone. Why? Because same father. So if we have this consciousness, same father, we are all children of the same Lord, same God, then we can be happy. And one of the most important things is, if we focus our life only on loving the self, it is like loving a painkiller. We have a short skit, but that will present later, because the darshan is open now. But I'll nevertheless explain this concept. Now, generally, if a person is diseased, he has two choices. Take a painkiller or take medicine. What happens if he takes a painkiller? He gets relief. But does the disease get cured? No. So we all have problem in the heart. We all have a desire to get love, happiness. So what do? We come, we look for painkillers, we look for relief agents. We switch on the TV, we take some addictions, we smoke, we booze, we have illicit sex, we gamble. All these things do give pleasure, but they only give a temporary relief. But Krishna consciousness is like the actual medicine which cures in the long run completely. A simple example. Why is it that the top film stars, top successful people, they have all access to sense gratification? They have the best music, best drugs. Why do they commit suicide? We sometimes wonder, if I have 1% of his wealth, I will be happy. But these people, they die with all the things. Like Elvis Presley had 100 Cadillac cars. But he died of drug overdose. Nafisa Joseph, she recently committed suicide because of excess overdose of sleeping pills. First time she didn't get sleep, she must have taken one sleeping pill. Then painkiller, relief from distress. But after some time that 1, 2 didn't matter. She had to take more, 7, 8. And eventually even 20 didn't give relief. Similarly, we come from office tired. We want to escape from reality, switch on the TV. During our times, TV nothing to watch. Only we used to watch Aamchi Mati, Aamchi Manasa, Shabdancha Palikadale. Nowadays, so many channels. People come, they switch on the TV. But are they satisfied? What do people do? They just do channel surfing. That's all. They're not happy. That doesn't give them actual satisfaction. It's simply giving us a chance to escape from reality more and more and more. Therefore, if a child is lost in the market and the child is given lollipop, his mother leaves him and the child is alone in the market. Somebody comes and gives lollipop, somebody comes and gives calculator, somebody comes and gives some games, toys. The child will not stop crying. He'll keep crying till he finds his parent. Because all these things don't give satisfaction. Similarly, we are all like children lost in the market. We have all the electronic gadgets, we have everything. But we are crying, we are hankering for love because we have lost connection with our parent, God. So we have to love God and re-establish our relationship. Therefore, it's important to understand a very recent incident, which is a landmark incident. This happened in the Johns Hopkins University. The sociology department, they wanted to find out about the slum dwellers in America. who are destined to be drug addicts and criminals. So in 1980, they studied some 7-year-old children, 200 of them. And they made a prediction according to sociological charts that in 2005 AD, they will all be, 200 of them will either, most of them will be dead or they will be hardcore criminals. And 2005, they took that report back and they said, let us find out where these people are. And to their shock, they could trace out only 160, because most of the others were not traceable. Out of those 160, 140 were pakka, civilized, cultured citizens of America. They were shocked because according to their report, they were in such a bad background, they were living in such ghettos, they should have been criminals. And they did more investigation, more. And they found out that all these 150 boys had one common thing. There was an elderly lady who was coming to that ghettos there, one preacher, one missionary lady, and she would spend time with them. And then they traced her. They found out where she is, who she is. And this lady was found, and she was still alive. And they asked her, what magic did you do? She said, no magic. I simply gave them love. And I told them to love God. That's all. But look at the dramatic transformation in the life of a person. So therefore, this love, the power of love cannot be underestimated. However, this again, many people say, Prabhuji, this is all, I feel, artificial. So how do we develop a taste for hearing? We develop determination. And how can we actually develop love in our heart? And that love will give us complete satisfaction. For this, we have the final technique, which is very, very useful and the most practical, and that is prayers. What is the meaning of a prayer? Very simple. Prayer means talking to Krishna. Prayer means telling God, God, here I am. And talking. Sometimes people say, well, I feel artificial talking to God and praying to God. Well, then say that to God. God, I feel artificial, but I want to develop a taste. Prayer means coming in front of the Lord and thanking the Lord for all the gifts that He has given us. Sometimes people argue, but God already knows everything that is there in the heart. Why to pray? God knows, but He feels very happy that you are so busy, but still you have taken out time and are coming and talking to God. Therefore, we should take out time and pray every day. Sometimes people say, but will God fulfill all our prayers? Well, one thing is assured, even if God does not fulfill all our prayers, at least one thing is assured, that we will at least come closer to God because of a culture of praying. And when that closeness is experienced, the remembrance of Krishna fills our heart and that gives unlimited joy. And the best way to pray is through chanting. In the, remember the story we discussed in the beginning? How did Bhamasur get destroyed? How did Krishna tackle him? Krishna had to come personally. The queens could not release themselves. Similarly, for us to be out of this city of eight walls, Krishna has to come. And how does Krishna come in today's day and age? He comes through the holy name. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. So when we chant the holy names of God, we can experience peace. Sometimes people wonder, simply chanting some sound? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yes, there is power in sound. Because this is no ordinary sound. Scientists have discovered what is called as sonic technology. Many of you must have heard of some fans that move by clapping of hands. If you clap hands, some fans move and some stop. This is called as sonic technology, which is very popular. That means sound has power. It has. And there is one community in Scotland which has become expert in tapping power through sound. This Findhorn community in Scotland, they are specializing in coming out with a very beautiful harvest and a beautiful garden of roses and other beautiful flowers in a barren land, because they are what is called as Deva gardening technique. Deva means what we call Devta. They talk to the Devas. They say there are gods in nature. We talk to them. And we have power. If you go to any trendy bookstore, you will find at least half a dozen manuals on Deva gardening. So people are all over the world accepting the power of sound. And these are all material sound. Imagine a spiritual sound, how much more potent that sound is. And this sound makes us internally peaceful. And then, nothing in the world affects us. Right now, our focus is on how to impress people. But when we have a culture of chanting, praying, we develop so much happiness that we don't bother about impressing people. A simple example, imagine, we assure you, or your principal tells you, you have come first in the university, congratulations, but only you will know and only I will know, nobody else will know. How will you feel? Or you are told you get an Olympic gold medal for 100 meters, but only you will know, I will know. Nobody will flash camera, nobody will know. Will they accept that 100 meter gold medal? So just understand what is driving our value system today. It is more of reputation. Reputation means what others think of you, not character. Krishna consciousness builds character. It is what you actually are. It gives us values. Therefore, one of my friends, he was a great cricket fan, and my father was at that time, he was one of the secretaries in the sports club in the railways. So we got pavilion passes. So there was a match in the Wankhede Stadium. I told him to come. And this friend of mine hated to travel in the local trains, especially in the morning hours. But that particular day, he came. I had already given him the pass the previous day. He came to college and he was ecstatic. And I told him, so how was the local train journey today? He said, I was very ecstatic. I said, you were not disgusted? Because generally he would complain about, you know, the local train hanging like this, smelling armpits and so horrible. He said, today I was ecstatic because I was only meditating on that pass which was there in my heart. Now I'm going to watch a match. Whole journey was oblivious. Similarly, a devotee who is experiencing a culture of chanting and praying and closeness with Krishna, he experiences complete satisfaction of the heart. So for this, chanting has to be a little intense. It cannot be mechanical like a parrot. It has to be with feeling of love. Like one time, one priest and one taxi driver both landed in the heaven. And the heaven in charge gave a bigger palace to the taxi driver and a smaller palace to the priest, preacher. Preacher said, I think there is a mistake. He said, no, it is perfect. How can you give a bigger palace to the taxi driver? So this heaven in charge said, my dear priest, when you are giving lectures, what are the people doing? He said, people are attentive, but some of them would sleep. So this heaven in charge said, but this taxi driver, when he would drive, nobody would sleep. In fact, people would be intensely praying when he would be driving taxi. So therefore, he deserves more. So the point is, it's not externally what you are that matters. What matters is how intensely we pray and how intensely we take shelter of Krishna's holy names. And this culture of health, hearing, H is for hearing spiritual knowledge, E is for endeavoring, L is for love God, and P is for power of prayers. And this has been given to us most wonderfully by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who is our ever well-wisher. One time was asked very challenging way in New York, Swamiji, have you tried LSD drugs? He said, no. So these people said, so how can you say it is not good? They thought they had cornered Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, I have not tried, but my students here have tried and they have given it up and now they are chanting Hare Krishna. You can ask them. And then the students spoke and preached to those boys. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has so compassionately given us this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness. One time a disciple said, Srila Prabhupada, will you please pray for me? Prabhupada said, I am always praying for you. Otherwise, what business do I have here? I have come here because I am always your ever well-wisher. And Srila Prabhupada taught us that material happiness is in view, but out of experience. But spiritual happiness, you might see people are wearing different kinds of clothes, they have tilak, they are going to college. You might wonder, oh, their escape is. No, but they are actually experiencing spiritual happiness within. Nowhere you will see in television, Hare Krishna devotees are happy. But actually, they are the happiest. Now most of you will go home after this program. You will reach at 11:30, some of you will reach at midnight. You will be dancing in kirtan, you will be sweating. And your hairs will all be disheveled, clothes will be disheveled. And your parents will ask, where are you coming from? And you will say, I am coming from temple. Can you imagine? And most of the parents have this question, where on hell do you get a temple like this, where you come back like this? Because people can't imagine a temple where you just enjoy, where you are chanting, dancing, feasting. Krishna consciousness is like this. They have this famous RG's discotheque at Charni Road. People have to pay hundreds of rupees to just enter, and they booze and they get frustrated there. So our devotee was saying, we also have RG's here, Radha Gopinaths. And here we are also doing the same thing. What are we doing here? Chanting, dancing, feasting, enjoying. Krishna consciousness is the most blissful process. Therefore, I would like to conclude with a very instructive and a short, very short story of the transformation of Mr. Chris Matthews, who was completely hooked into morphine drug and was a drug addict from Atlanta. His life was a big mess. He was arrested by the police and was imprisoned. Rigorous imprisonment was sentenced to him. And when he was in the jail, he got Srila Prabhupada's books. He became a devotee, started chanting, and he wrote a very powerful statement. He said, when I was outside the jail, I was more free, but I always felt bound. I always felt choked up because I had so many addictions and so many problems. But now I am in the jail, but because I am chanting Hare Krishna, I am staying high forever. And within the jail, within the walls of the prison, I am experiencing more freedom. And seeing his amazing transformation, the Atlanta judiciary, they released him. And today, even ISKCON, and he is the in charge for prison preaching in America. So from a prisoner, Mr. Chris Matthews has become prison minister. This is the power of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Therefore, we request all the young boys who have come here for this program to join us, and let us all together make a resolve to make our life more meaningful, more tangible, not simply live like the animals, eating, sleeping, mating and defending. And let us make not only our lives meaningful, but let us make the whole world Krishna conscious. And just like countries are desperately trying to be nuclear superpowers, some countries are trying to be economic superpowers, let us all make India, which it originally was, a spiritual superpower, a country that distributes the message of love of Godhead to one and all. So with this humble appeal, I would like to request all of you to please stick to the process with utmost sincerity. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
डॉक्टर धन्यवाद
आपने मेरी जान बचाई डॉक्टर साहब मैंने तो जान बचाई तुमने तो अपनी जान बचाने का पूरा इंतजाम कर लिया था
क्या
29 साल की उम्र में किसी को हार्ट अटैक होता है ये देखो सारी बुरी आदतें तुमने पाल कर रखी हैं अब ये सब बंद करना पड़ेगा नॉर्मल बिल्कुल बंद मांस मछली अंडा ये भी बंद ये जो तुम पीस कप चाय कॉफी पीते हो उसके ऊपर क्या देखो तरस कांजा पी क्या हालत बना के रखा है
हरे कृष्ण। चन चन के मारूंगा, खून पी जाऊंगा, नहीं छोड़ूंगा मैं किसे। ओए प्रेम
प्रेम
प्रेम मेरे भाई। अरे ये क्या हो गया तुझे, ये मरे हुए कुत्ते की शक्ल कैसे बन गई तेरी।
सुन जसवंत सुन।
ओ मेरे भाई,
पिछले हफ्ते मुझे चेस्ट पेन हो रहा था।
अच्छा,
और मैं वहां गली में उस दवाखाने में गया था। वो यार वो डॉक्टर गुप्ता का दवाखाना,
वो मोटू।
हाँ वो मोटू। और उसने बोला यार तुमको हार्ट अटैक हुआ है।
हार्ट अटैक?
हाँ।
और
उसने एक लंबी लिस्ट दी मुझे।
अच्छा,
और फिर एक लंबा बिल। उससे मुझे दूसरा हार्ट अटैक होने वाला।
तुझे पता है वो 10 बार MBBS में फेल हुआ है
क्या?
MDB उसने पैसे खिला के पास किए। और पिछले साल मेरी सास को भी उसने बहुत काटा था।
कहाँ काटा?
अरे बिल काटा था। तुझे कोई हार्ट अटैक नहीं पड़ा होगा, तूने कोई बासा पकोड़ा खा लिया होगा इसलिए एसिडिटी हो गई होगी।
कभी कभी खाता हूं मैं।
ठीक है, एक काम कर, जब भी ऐसा दर्द हो,
ये क्या?
ये पेन किलर है, एक खा लेना, ज्यादा दुखी तो दो, और जो रात के 12 बजे 12।
वाह इतना आसान।
हाँ
वन पेन किलर है, अभी खा लेता हूं।
गया?
आराम लग रहा है।
अब तुझे वो सब कुछ करने की कोई जरूरत नहीं।
तो कल
7 बजे मंजीत के ढाबे पे।
ठीक है। या
हेलो। हाँ प्रेम, क्या हुआ? ओ यार 2 गोली खा ले।
ठीक है, दो खाता
हूँ। हाँ प्रेम, क्या हुआ? क्यों कुत्ते की तरह चिल्ला रहा है?
बार बार वो दर्द आता है यार, डर लग रहा है।
अरे तो 4-6 गोली खा ले एक साथ।
6 गोली?
थोड़ा दिमाग लगा कर।
ठीक है। हाँ रिलीफ मिल गया।
रोज का नाटक हो गया।
बहुत दर्द हो रहा है, फिर से वो दर्द।
अच्छा ठीक है, काम कर, रात के 12 बजे 12 गोली खा ले तू अभी।
अरे 15 खा ली, फिर भी दर्द हो रहा है।
अच्छा, यानी लगता है तुझे सचमुच में हार्ट अटैक पड़ा है। मैं आ रहा हूँ मेरे भाई, मैं अपने ट्रक में आ रहा हूँ तुझे लेने। प्रेम मेरा मेरा भाई क्या हुआ तुझे?
अरे प्रेम,
कल मैं डॉक्टर गुप्ता के पास ले जाता हूँ।
डॉक्टर साहब, अरे बचाओ इसे।
अरे अरे देखिए,
अरे इसके मुंह से शराब की बदबू आ रही है। अरे इसको तो अभी हार्ट अटैक हुआ था, मैंने बोला था कार्डियक अरेस्ट हो गया, ये सब बंद कर दो नशा, क्यों कर रहा है ये?
अरे इसको सादी एसिडिटी हुई थी, वो कोई हार्ट अटैक तो पड़ा नहीं था।
क्या कर रहे थे तुम?
अरे मैंने ऐसे बोला वो एसिडिटी के लिए कोई तभी तुम दो ले लेना, ज्यादा तो क्या चार ले लेना, और रात के 12 बजे दुखे तो 12-13 ले लेना एक साथ।
अरे डॉक्टर साहब क्या हो गया मेरे दोस्त को? क्या हो गया डॉक्टर साहब?
सरदार जी इसके अभी बच गए 12, अभी ले जाओ।
अरे नहीं प्रेम मेरे भाई, कितनी बार कहा था इतना शराब मत पिया कर, इतनी मेहनत से रात के 2 बजे अपने टाटा के ट्रक में मैं तुझे लेकर आया था यहाँ पर, अब तेरा आखिरी टाटा इसी ट्रक में होगा लगता है।
मुझे भी हल्की सी सीने में दर्द हो रहा है, मैं क्या करूं? पेन किलर ले लूं क्या?
Thank you.